What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Didn't know this. Lisa Marie Presley met Michael Jackson for the first time when she was 7 years old at one of his concerts.
That would seem right, Michael.
Then they got married in the 90s. They were married for like a year.
She has some dudes now.
Lisa Marie got four different husbands. Julie, Nick Cage, and Michael Jackson.
Well, so she was actually married to Michael Jackson, huh?
Yeah.
That wasn't like one of those fake deals?
No, they got married. They got married. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now she's passed at 54. Sadly.
Now, is she the heir to all of that stuff in Graceland, or is her
His wife is still alive. Her mom,
Priscilla. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. What? Somebody tell me how old would Elvis Presley be if he had still? Because some people remember the whole Elvis is alive shtick that was going on for so long. I think that's kind of past now, is it not? But Elvis Presley was young when he died, like 42 years old. So, yeah. And he died in 1977 at the age of 42. So he'd be an old guy.
Yeah, he'd be old. He'd be like me.
Not your age
no,
old.
He'd be like in his late 80s.
Late 80s.
Like I said, like me.
But obviously the king.
The king is right.
His daughter has passed, unfortunately. So we've got that story. It's also a lot of Texas football. We had a good show today. We talked to Ari Temkin. If you missed that, go back on podcast and hear Ari previewing the Big 12 weekend in basketball, his thoughts on the top teams. Ari, of course, used to work with us here. He's now at SiriusXM doing the Big 12 radio, so talking to all the Big 12 coaches and players and covering the whole league. That was good. Also, our buddy Bobby Burton was with us from Inside Texas, bringing some good intel. Including that, his intel says Holman Wiggins, the Alabama wide receivers coach, might be the top choice for Steve Sarkisian to bring in to replace Brennan Marion. The question is, can they pry Holman Wiggins away from Alabama? Bobby said that he was hearing that Holman is kind of holding out hope that he could land an offensive coordinator's gig somewhere and not just make a lateral wide receivers coach to wide receivers coach in the league. I mean, coming here, he'd be the passing game coordinator,
right,
which Brennan Marion was too. But that'd be interesting because Wiggins, Buck, obviously that would mean the entire offensive staff under Nick Saban from Alabama that national championship year would be running Texas.
And it would be the no-excuse tour.
Yeah. I mean, because Sark, A.J. Milwee, Kyle Flood, Jeff Banks already here, Jeff mm-hmm. coaching the tight ends and special teams. Holman would be the final piece to that offensive staff. And we know last year, bringing in Gary Patterson to go with Pete Kwiatkowski, the defense was dramatically improved. And yeah, that's why it's the no excuse year. I mean, it really is. I mean, I don't know what Texas is going to do, but I don't think it's wrong for Longhorn fans to really have high expectations for the team. When you have a third year coach with a lot of consistency on his coaching staff, with 10 of 11 offensive returning starters, plus depth at the offensive line position and a wide receiver that you haven't had in the past, and you've got, you know, if you look at the defense, it's going to have nine players back, Buck, who've played significant time. Whether they were starters or not, they're going to have nine of the 11 who have played a ton of football for the University of Texas, including the additions of Gavin Holmes, the two-year starter at Wake Forest at corner, who's come in through the portal, and Jalen Catalon.
Yeah, there's got to be a certain fire in their belly next year for sure on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, and as we've said, I mean, the rest of the Big 12 is, you know, Texas just comes back with a lot of check boxes. Doesn't mean they're going to be good. They should be.
They should be.
If Sark is the coach that they think he is, they better be real good. They come back with a lot to like at a lot of positions. And meanwhile, you know, we talk about Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy just lost his second defensive coordinator in as many years yesterday. Derek Mason announced that he has taken a sabbatical from coaching. The defense at Oklahoma State kind of fell apart this year.
Jerry said, he's like a fox, sly like a fox. That dude's sly like a fox until that big game comes on national TV, and here he is, Mike Gundy.
Well, listen, Mike Gundy has 20 players in the portal, and most of them are starters.
That?
I mean, because I know Texas has guys in the portal, but most of the guys that jumped in the portal at Texas realized that they weren't going to play a lot here.
Correct.
They were kind of just natural, you know, I'm going to go play somewhere else. I mean, if you look at Oklahoma State, they're starting quarterback, they're starting running back, their top two receivers, they're two of their top tacklers. They're all in the portal and leaving. That's a problem for Mike Gundy. He's losing a lot of those key guys that you were going to rely on. And, you know, the Spencer Sanders things will be tempered because they did bring in Alan Bowman. Well, you remember Alan Bowman. He couldn't stay healthy at Texas Tech.
Right.
And then he transferred to where? Wasn't he like Michigan or somewhere?
Yeah, he's got to be. He'll be a junior, I would believe.
He's there. And then the so Oklahoma State's going to have a lot of attrition. We know TCU was in the championship game and had a great year, but now the reports that Garrett Riley is leaving to go to Clemson to take over the offense with Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney.
But they've already got three from Alabama coming.
They are. They have added players from Alabama and through the portal. I'm not saying that TCU is going to be bad, but when you're replacing all three of your top receivers, you know, three of the five offensive linemen, you know, Travius Hodges Tomlinson's going to the NFL. This was the most veteran team in the Big 12 to begin with last year, so they're going to lose a lot of key guys, including Max Duggan. You know, Texas has more experience coming back than they do. And Oklahoma, what can they be, Buck? Brett Venables, it's year two now. Dylan Gabriel's back to play quarterback.
But they'll be better.
They will be, but yes. But they were 6-7 this year. So how much better becomes a question. They were bad this year. I mean, they were a terrible defensive team. They're trying to attack the defense through the portal right now. They had a nice recruiting class at Oklahoma, and Dylan Gabriel returns. I can't imagine it'll be, you know, I talked all offseason last year about a regression at Oklahoma. Even I didn't expect 6-7. That was worse than I thought they would be.
And I still believe Baylor is the one that's going to regress. They've run out of time with that defense. These guys have got to be gone by now, because the year before they lost a bunch, and then last year they still had some holdovers and they struggled offensively. They're okay. There's not. I mean, their quarterback will come back. Is he their quarterback for the next couple of years? I think he still has two more years. He played as a freshman.
Well, I mean, Baylor, I think, does slide. I mean, we talked about them last year. How do you replace the Jalen Petries and the playmakers on your team?
They struggled on defense. They didn't. You're right.
And I thought Bobby made a great point that people figured out Jeff Grimes' outside zone offense pretty well, too.
That's absolutely right.
He caught people by surprise in that first year.
But they ran the ball well. They still had pretty good runners.
But, you know, they were not a very good football team. No. They obviously lost Air Force in their bowl game. And let's also add the fact that their quarterback just did not play very well, Blake Shapen, and they thought they were bringing in Austin Novosad from Dripping Springs on signing day. He bolted to Oregon, so they're kind of limping a little bit at Baylor.
Yeah, and what are the new teams that join this league?
I think that's a really fair thing. I got to dig into Cincinnati. Cincinnati's replacing Luke Fickell,
and just the word BYU scares me.
Yeah, BYU will be a 14-team league next year for at least 1 year for Texas and Oklahoma. Yeah, Cincinnati, Houston with Dana Holgorsen.
That's right, Houston, you're right.
Central Florida with Gus Malzahn, BYU. But again, here's the text. It says, so in this no-excuse year, if UT doesn't win the Big 12, are you calling for Sark's job? Look, we don't call for people to be fired. I'll say this, though. If they don't at least play for the Big 12 title next year.
If they're not in that title game.
And they're not a double-digit win team with all that they have coming back.
Is it really moving in the right direction to go into the SEC?
I would argue that he may not be the coach to take you to the Southeastern Conference, but again, there's a lot of football to be played. And look, this year, the five games they lost were very winnable football games. And if that continues to be the trend that they get in the fourth quarters and don't finish.
That's the no-excuse part right there. There won't be any excuses for these one-point losses.
You're losing games because you're not executing in critical moments, and play calling becomes questionable, and the best players, I mean, we know how the games went this year. They were all nail-biters. They were all – the Alabama game was winnable.
If your passing game is sloppy, and that's what you're about, you know what I mean, if you're an offensive guy and your pass game is sloppy going into year three, that is not good for no matter what conference you go into.
Well, you're right about that, and then that would be on Sark, because, again, he's got the staff he wants. There's also the report – not the report, it's official. Texas has posted to hire another – special assistant to the head coach, right? They put that posting out, which means they're planning to fill it. And we asked Bobby about that, and he said he doesn't think that relates to Gary Patterson. I mean, there's still a question whether Gary Patterson's going to come back or not in his role. But Bobby said his intel tells him that is not the Gary Pat, that they're not planning to replace Gary Patterson, that they would add, if Gary stays, which he's encouraged to do, and keep his role, that they're going to add an offensive special assistant to the coach, and that's what that's about. Now, I know Texas fans would say, wow, great, because, you know, Sark, should he hire an offensive coordinator? That debate has been had. what goes on with this offense. So maybe they're bringing in a – or Sark has an eye on someone to come in and help him.
That's why I think that this receiver coach is very important. I mean, really, to what they really, really have to fix.
Well, think about what Gary Patterson brought to the defense, just a new set of eyes,
yep,
an ability to self-scout and then scout ahead and help PK and the staff, you know, when they needed it. Well, maybe that's what Sark's looking for on offense, if Bobby's reporting is right, that, hey, Sark, what's going on here? I mean, what are we doing in fourth quarter? Somebody that he can lean on,
mm-hmm,
that he trusts. I don't know who that person's going to be. Bobby said he kind of knows who it might be. He had a good idea, but he wasn't willing to go there yet. So we'll keep an eye on that. That would be a big development for Texas.
Yeah, and Texas
front.
Tech will be better. I mean, they were good in year one with a guy that they believe in and the players believe in. They'll be even better in year two. That program will just get – as Texas leaves, I think Texas Tech will start to be that team, whether it's them or TCU. Somebody has to take over for the Oklahomas and Texas when they leave the Big 12. I think Texas Tech is just ripe to do that.
Well, Tech's interesting. As far as teams who come back with a lot, Tech is number one, along with K-State. I mean, those are the two teams that you look at on paper and say, okay, they're bringing – I mean, I know Deuce Vaughn's leaving K-State, but they bring back most of that entire offensive line. They've added a transfer portal running back. They've got Will Howard back. They're playing QB. You like what they've got there. And Chris Kleiman's a good coach, good football coach. They were in the Sugar Bowl this year as the Big 12's champion. So they've got to be considered. But, again, I don't – you know, it's Texas. I mean, I thought they underachieved this year.
I did, too. I thought they should have been in championship game.
I think 8-4 was acceptable, average.
We said that going into the season. I thought 9-3 would be a good year. 8-4 would be acceptable.
And if they finish one of those fourth quarter conference games, whether it would be in Texas Tech, the overtime loss, at Oak State, you know, they're playing for the Big 12 title game
a year
ago.
Yeah, but now I'm at the point of what's acceptable or not is, no, it's acceptable. You need to be in a championship game.
Yeah, I think for sure. Because I could sit here and make – I think there were valid reasons why Texas was going to struggle in year one. I didn't expect 5-7. I don't know that Sark would have expected 5-7. That
Nobody
was unacceptable.
Right.
But last year, I think 8-4 was just acceptable. I mean, it just – you should, because what you were encouraged by last year was the player development piece of it.
And the way the defense played.
Yeah, the defensive improvement and actually finally seeing players improve. Guys who – you know, Keandre Coburn breaking out. You know, Jalen Ford going from good player to great player. This was across.
But there are teams that come in with a first-year quarterback that do really, really, really well.
Yeah,
and that has to be straightened out.
I think they struggled through Quinn Ewers learning a lot.
Absolutely.
On the job, and should they have gone to Hudson Card in a couple of spots? That's a fair criticism. I still think the Oklahoma State was there to be won if Hudson Card gets a few series, but you know, we'll never know the answer to that question. But in the end, acceptable year off an unacceptable year leads to me, because you also have to add to this conversation everything that's happened through both off seasons, and we know last year was an A-plus off season, adding Gary Patterson, the recruiting class, and now this one is on its way to being that. You know, you have a chance to replace your offensive coordinator. Maybe you're going to bring in a special assistant, a veteran coach to help with the offensive side. You've brought in Arch Manning.
Yeah.
And another great recruiting class.
Yeah, and for Sark, maybe he can now just settle down and take care of the quarterback position.
Well, I mean, that's AJ Milwee's job, but
well,
you're right.
Yeah, come on, coach. Take care of Quinn Ewers. Get this guy comfortable where there is not any of this hocus-pocus stuff from game to game to game, where he's a consistent quarterback, and then let the rest of it fall in place. Your receivers catching balls, running the right routes, everybody in tune offensively, because I still think your defense is going to be pretty salty. And as you said, if Gary stays around here, I think it'll still be real, real salty again.
This says David Cutcliffe. Ooh, that'd be an interesting name. Right, because Bobby indicated he kind of knew the name. I'll text him and see if he'll give it to me, but he probably won't. It means he's hearing some things, but he can't say it yet.
Cliff.
Well, people are going to say Cliff Kingsbury. That's interesting. But look, this job got posted 10 days ago or 6 days ago. If this thing, because a lot of times you post that just to go through the procedures. You know who you want to hire.
You know, yes.
Yeah, you're just following the law. You know, Cutcliffe would be interesting because Cutcliffe was a name you heard last year at this time. And Cutcliffe is very close with the Manning family. We know
very nice retirement area.
Well, very much like Gary Patterson. He would be the offensive version of Gary Patterson, right? I mean, veteran coach, very successful. And, of course, he comes with the Manning name because he coached Eli at Ole Miss, Coach Peyton in mm-hmm. Tennessee, and now Arch is here. That's a very interesting name thrown out there. But, again, that's completely speculative for sure. This says, guys, completely underachieved, 5-7, 8-5. Look, again, I think it's unacceptable year one. just acceptable year two, which is why year three is very, very important. Very, very important. It's got to be a big step forward. This can't be a 4-5 loss football team next year, or I think it would be a clear indication you do not have the right coach to lead you into the Southeastern Conference.
No.
But I think I still am on the side that I think Sark can be and is the right coach. So that's why I'm saying this should be an 11 or 12 win season in 2023, and a lot of reasons to believe that it can be that. But you got to go put on the build the foundation right now and get Quinn Ewers in that passing game.
That has
up
to be
to
straight.
Snuff.
Yes, for sure.
Figure out how to replace Bijan Robinson and the production from your running game. And
You can replace it by having a good pass game. And not just an okay pass game like last year. I don't even know if it was okay.
Well, it would be more well balanced, right? I mean, it's this year they were all run. Like they realized maybe not quickly enough that if things weren't going well in the passing game, they had to just shut it down and run the ball. You're not going to be able to do that next year. I mean, you don't have Bijan. You don't have Roschon. You can't just turn a game over to your run game.
No.
Now your offensive line should be stronger and deeper and a year better. But at the same time, you're not going to have the backs to just saddle it up and take over.
You're absolutely right.
But again, if the passing game is better, if Isaiah Nayor brings a big element to your offense and Jordan Whittington is made more of a focal point of your offense to go with Xavier Worthy, and then the young guys that are coming in, the Jonte Cooks, the Brennan Thompsons, the Savion Reds, you got JT Sanders at tight end. Yeah, if your pass game becomes a lethal situation, well, then your run game's going to be good.
You're absolutely right.
Because I think it's safe to say, and I'm not saying this is that, but Alabama, when Nick Saban had those great wide receivers and the passing game was elite, whether it was Mac Jones or Tua, the run game was good because you had to play with a light box all the time, and Najee Harris just gobbled that up, and turns out Najee was a pretty good player. Pretty good player at Alabama. But I think Jonathan Brooks is a pretty good player. I mean, I think Cedric Baxter Jr., Jaden Blue, it's not like they don't have talent at the running back position. They just don't have Bijan.
No. They just don't have that talent.
All right, so there's some Texas football. The big story kind of buried in there that we mentioned off the top of the show looks like Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley's little brother, who's the Broyles Award winner for his work with Max Duggan and the TCU offense this year, is leaving to go to Clemson. That is a big get for Dabo Swinney. The whispers around the Clemson program have been, hey, Dabo, we're sliding. We're sliding here. We were at the top. We were where Georgia is. We were right there contending with Alabama and beating Alabama. We're sliding back now. We couldn't even, dominate the ACC. ACC is the worst of the Power 5 conferences right now.
Absolutely.
And what are we doing? And this would be a nice answer because here's the thing about Dabo. They're still going to play great defense, I believe. They recruit an elite level. Their defensive lines consistently are the best. Their problem this year and the last couple have been offense that they haven't. I mean, you go from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. The next guy's going to be. He can't be as good, right? Those are two elite players. Kind of like when Mac went from, Vince Young to Colt McCoy, the next guy is probably not going to be as good. And that was DJ Uiagalelei, who's now transferred to Oregon State. But they think, and I think a lot of people think, Cade Klubnik, the Westlake kid, has a chance to be really good. And so you bring in Garrett Riley to run the offense, to work with, Cade the next couple of years.
The kids are recruited. You'll see kids jumping the portal to get to that place.
I mean, I think, you're right. Receivers want to come play with him. Running backs, because that's Garrett
like
Riley.
Lincoln Riley, everybody wants to go out there.
And play for the name Riley, you tend to be up for Heisman trophies when you're playing with Garrett or Lincoln Riley these days. So I think that's a huge and a strong get for Dabo Swinney if they did, because Garrett Riley was in demand. There was talking he might be a head coach. A&M wanted to talk to Garrett Riley. There were reports, but they end up with Bobby Petrino for Jimbo Fisher. That's a good move for Dabo. In my mind.
Yeah, and Dabo, how long does he want to do this?
It's a big loss for Sonny Dykes.
He gets mean and angry in a hurry. He doesn't like to get with the times. He's just going to try to...
Well, that's the thing with Dabo. You even hear that from the closest of Clemson fans. That, man, you could not like NIL, you could not like the portal, but you still got to participate.
Yes, you do. Or you're going to be... Or you're not going to make it to that 14 playoff.
Well, Sark says it all the time. I mean, you either adapt or you're a dinosaur, right? And that's what happens. Mack Brown became a dinosaur in college football when he wasn't adapting after winning his two national championships. He didn't adapt and do things like Nick Saban was doing at Alabama. He wasn't copycatting at all. He wanted to continue to do it his way, and we know that it grew stale, and by 2013 it was done. I don't know that maybe Dabo gets with it, because I still think Dabo believes he can recruit high school, keep building like he is, not ignore the NIL, but maybe not make it the focus like everyone else. But you can't ignore the portal at this point, can you? Georgia did. Georgia did, by the way. Georgia didn't attack the portal.
No.
They just recruited, developed, and won again, and they'll be the favorites. By the way, have you seen Georgia's schedule next year? Ugh. It's brutal, Buck. No one can beat Georgia next year. I mean, they have a game with Florida that might be decent.
That's it.
They got to go. I think they go to Tennessee. Am I right about that? In Knoxville, that one becomes interesting. Other than that, man, the rest of that schedule, their non-conference schedule, joke.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee to me still is the program that's been starting to be built in the image of Georgia now. A physical group. I like Tennessee next year going into the season.
We'll be back. We'll take your thoughts on those conversations, a lot of them, college football. Pro football, too. It is super wild card weekend. You know that. We'll preview all those games coming, including Mother Nature to be a big factor in the first game tomorrow. Details coming on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the horn, talking Texas football, NFL as well. I mentioned Georgia's schedule next year, Buck, going for a three-peat. Their non-conference four games, UT Martin, who? Ball State, UAB, Georgia Tech.
Man.
And their SEC West opponents are Auburn and Ole Miss. Auburn and Ole Miss.
They're going to go undefeated again.
Now, Tennessee is improving, and that's on the east side, so they'll play Tennessee in Knoxville next year. Florida's always a rival. Billy Napier's, you know, struggled in year one. So, you know, that's where it stands. I don't see a lot of losses for
no way Stetson Bennett's coming back, right?
Yeah, that game at Tennessee is scheduled for November the 18th of next year, of this year. So that's the toughest game on their schedule, without a doubt, at least on paper. I would also say for that's still the SEC's issue, right? People rightfully can criticize the SEC that Georgia and Alabama have played in the regular season. They're supposedly in the same conference, and they've played once in the regular season in the last 15 years. That shouldn't be the case. That really shouldn't. You can say what you want. You should at least be playing, you know, once every 4 or 5 years, every opponent in your conference. It's just the way the rotation works. Not in the SEC, though.
Every 15 years?
Like
really?
If they meet, it's going to be in the SEC championship game because they're one's in the East, one's in the West. But they do rotate teams you play in the other side of the conference, but it never seems to come up Georgia and Alabama in a regular season game. That doesn't ever seem to happen. But that's where that stands. As for the NFL, Buck, six games this weekend, actually five this weekend, one on Monday night. But it is a three-day weekend for a lot of you out there, so you could count Monday night as a weekend with MLK Day.
Yep.
Coming your way on Monday. We certainly will we'll be here Monday morning talking all things super wild card weekend, including if you like sloppy football, looks like it's going to be sloppy in San Francisco on Saturday. They're talking about a couple of inches of rain, Buck. They've been getting deluged by storms in California for the better part of the year now. Massive flooding going on, and the weather is not looking good. Like, we're talking about heavy rain and winds throughout that game tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. We talked about who it helps, who it hurts, but in the end, it just probably be a low-scoring, sloppy football game, which the 49ers would be fine in. You know, Seattle's been practicing in the rain. It's been raining in Seattle all week, too. They've been getting ready for it.
They live in the rain.
So this game looks to be, and it's on grass at Levi's Stadium. That's going to be that'll be a sloppy one. You know, obviously, if you're a 49er fan, at least for me, my one worry would just be a rookie quarterback in Brock Purdy just handling the ball, exchanges, the pressure of January. I think he'll be fine, but that would be something to watch. They do a lot of play fakes and end arounds.
Although I do like the physical team in a slop.
Yeah, because if the 49ers don't turn the ball over, I think they'll win the game pretty comfortably. I mean, I think they're just the better team. They have the better defense. They've got everybody healthy with Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. Debo Samuel's back. George Kittle's playing to an elite level right now. The O-line's great. So really, Brock Purdy, if you're not fumbling and stumbling and giving the 49ers opportunity or the Seahawks, I think you feel pretty good about yourself. But it is a divisional game, so they're very familiar with one another. Pete Carroll, pretty good January coach, too. In his time.
So I keep seeing these things about Gary Patterson going to Oklahoma State. Did you say they got rid of their defensive coordinator?
Yes, Derek Mason decided to take a football sabbatical. I think that was kind of a mutual decision with he. Because,
I'm going to say Gary's wife is no way going to Stillwater.
Yeah, the immediate Oklahoma State Stillwater reaction to that is, ooh, let's go get Gary Patterson to run the defense. And we'll see. I mean, to hear, I mean, J- Jerry Hamlin, Bobby Burton said earlier that Mike Gundy's kind of a witch sometimes. He kind of comes up with some good ideas. We'll see if Gary Patterson, I don't think Gary Patterson wants to live in Stillwater.
No.
And run a defense for Mike. We'll see. Those guys were head-to-head rivals for a long time in the Big 12. Jim Knowles jumped ship, and there's still a lot of folks that in Stillwater who think that did not go over very well in the locker room, that they weren't able to keep Jim Knowles and pay him what he wants or have Mike Gundy talk him into staying, because he was a big part of that team that went to the Big 12 championship and played such great defense. You started to see some improvement at Ohio State.
Did.
Buckeyes were better. They're still not where they want to be in Columbus. But
yeah, but they had a lot of guys returning on that defense, dude. They got lots of guys.
Well, remember, and they brought in Derek Mason, who had been the longtime SEC defensive coordinator, Vanderbilt coach. And the idea was they would just keep the terminology, and Derek Mason would just really run the same defense. Mason would learn what Oklahoma State was doing and keep the consistency. Obviously, it didn't work very good, and Derek Mason is now no longer there. So you're hiring a third defensive coordinator in 3 years at Oklahoma State. I don't think it'll be Gary Patterson, but there are optimistic Cowboy fans wondering if that could be the case. I'm not buying that.
They're hoping no. I'm not buying it either.
I'm very intrigued based on
Bobby. Because if you're the full-timer, you got to live there.
But I am very intrigued on following this story now with Bobby saying that he believes that posting for the special assistant to the head coach job at Texas is for an offensive coach. And it's for an additional coach on top of Gary Patterson, whether Gary's back or not. So my thought when that was first posted was, okay, Gary's leaving. He's told Sark he'll finish out or whatever, and he's going to go do something else.
But I think you can have as many of those as you want if you got the money to do it.
As many as you can pay. Yeah, you can have as many analysts and special assistants to the coach. And
they do it at Bama.
Oh, yeah. You got to afford it, but, yeah, you can hire as many as you want. All right, so we've got that coming. We've got good stuff in the NFL. You think does Trevor Lawrence win a playoff game tomorrow night? Does Trevor Lawrence take that next step? Because that's it, right? You put up big numbers, you get your team to the playoffs, and then that next step for a quarterback, the next rung on the ladder, is winning a playoff game and getting it done. Has Trevor Lawrence got that in him, or is it Justin Herbert's time to win a playoff game?
I like having that home field advantage for them.
Home underdog.
Home dog for Jacksonville.
So is Tampa, but.
And, they played week three, September, and it was Jaguars 38, Chargers 10.
That was either the game Justin Herbert got hurt or was the first game coming off that injury where
he was coming off
played.
That.
I think it was the first
game
he played with the cracked rib.
Brandon Staley has his player management in that case, with injuries and then the last week of the season playing his guys for no reason.
That Mike Williams deal is going to hurt.
Yeah, Jaguars have won five in a row, though. I mean, they've beaten the likes of the Cowboys. We mentioned the Chargers have the worst record against playoff teams. Teams who are in the playoffs are 1-6, 1-5 this year. Now, they played the Chiefs a couple times, obviously. That's a good team. They lost to the Jaguars earlier, so they're 1-5. The Jags are 3-3 against other playoff teams. And the fact that Doug Peterson's team's a home dog, I think that has to be a bit of a chip on the shoulder factor to say, hey, we're playing good ball. But the Chargers, very talented. Bosa and Mack off the edge. Derwin James at safety. You feel like they can get after that group. This is the young group of Jacksonville Jaguars. Very young team. More experience with the Chargers. But at the same time, their head coach called into question quite a lot. That is your Saturday night game. That's the primetimer. I'm glad that's there because that might be the most entertaining game of the weekend.
I think so. I think it will be.
I think that'll be a
high. Colonel Flowers has got – is that the Jim Turner coming on with him on Saturday morning?
Yeah, there's a text.
My Jim Turner?
Your former fullback at Boston College.
Turned crazy man offensive line coach.
Yeah, it says here from Colonel Flowers. The high ground. We'll have Coach Jim Turner on tomorrow, hosting an O-line
Good
coaching
luck,
school
Colonel.
At College Station coming up later in the month. So, yeah, Jimmy Turner was a walk-on fullback for you.
Yes.
Coached a long time on the offensive line in the NFL and college football. That will be an entertaining conversation. No matter what
that
they're talking about,
it
will be entertaining.
Me. Yes, it will be.
Because Jim Turner. He's still got that Boston accent all these years later, everywhere he's been. Where'd you find him?
I don't know. Somebody just pulled him out of the woodwork.
Did you recruit him or just walk on?
He walked on.
You had no...
Just told me he was going to play. I'm playing.
And he did.
And he did play for you in special occasions. Yes, he did.
Also,
because he was definitely a wedge buster.
Your Sunday games, Dolphins-Bills, that one could get out of hand. I almost get the sense that the Dolphins are kind of resigned that it's been a good year, but man, Skylar Thompson is not beating Josh Allen.
No, and the the Bills, a lot of positivity coming out of Buffalo right now. Plus, they're a good football team.
Very good. Might be the most complete team in all of the AFC, especially if that running game continues to crank in Buffalo. And, you know, when they're all-pro safety Jordan Poyer's on the field, they don't lose. I mean, they're really good. They've shored up that back end. The injured guys have gotten healthy. And this is, you know, these are I don't think it'll be this week for Buffalo, but the critical loss of Von Miller to that knee injury, that'll show up at some point. When you've got to beat Joe Burrow or you've got to beat, you know, Patrick Mahomes in a big spot, that's what you signed Von Miller for. And he was playing great, and now he's not there at the most critical moment. We know they couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes last year in Kansas City in that divisional playoff game. Couldn't hit him and harass him. That's what they brought in Von Miller for, and he's not available. But I don't think it'll be a factor in
this
game.
I'm thinking of riding the Cincinnati Bengals with the little extra cheese straight up, straight on through all the way to the Super Bowl.
You know, Bengals.
Forget the points, just take them to be the winner.
We've been riding the Bengals here on the Show of the People for a couple of months now. They haven't lost in a couple of months.
No, they've been pretty good.
Joe Burrow is really, really good, and they're going to beat the Ravens. Ravens are going to be with Tyler Huntley. You know, when the Bengals have Burrow healthy with Ja'Marr Chase, with T. Higgins, and the run game with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon, I mean, they're really tough. I mean, because you know, anybody in the league would tell you that Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best three or four receivers in the league, and T. Higgins is the number one receiver.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's a number one receiver on most any team in his league. So, and remember,
he's just like the guy that the Ram San Fran has, E number 11.
Ayuk?
Yeah, he's like that guy.
No, I think Higgins better than Ayuk. I mean,
really?
I think T. Higgins, and when Ja'Marr Chase has been hurt, T. Higgins plays like
a number one. Yes, he
so
does.
When you get them both together, man, you got a problem because, I mean, T. Higgins is 6'5". You can go up and get the ball, and you're going to put him on a smaller corner, and we know Joe Burrow is so accurate with the ball. Which one are you going to leave single covered becomes a very big problem, especially as they've improved their offensive line and now they're running the ball pretty good with physically with Perine and Mixon. I like them too. And game of Sunday is likely Giants Vikings. I mean, that game, that was a tremendous regular season game just a few weeks ago in Minnesota. Vikings are trying to they need a crowd. They need that crowd noise to impact Daniel Jones and this Giants offense. Because
yeah, they're not going to have that one score deal here. I just don't think they all these games that they've come back from.
You're buying. Are you on the Vikings or on the Giants here?
Almost on the Giants.
Ooh, 3-point dog on the road. That's really just the home for them. So Vegas sees that as a very even game. Coin flip. They're giving the 3 points to the road team, which is kind of how it go. Home field advantage, making the Vikings a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is going to run his rear end off in this game against that Viking defense. He's going to take off. They're going to have set run plays for him in this game.
Can I just say, we talked about this yesterday with Dan Orlovsky and his quarterback rankings. This new narrative that Daniel Jones is like better than Dak Prescott all of a sudden, I'm not buying that conversation. No. Daniel Jones is still.
Hey, I said it yesterday.
Come on. He's still Daniel Jones.
He makes less mistakes.
Well, he has.
He's had a year. He's had his year where
Who's he throwing to?
He's not throwing. I mean.
Exactly. They don't have any receivers, and he's still not making mistakes and still making throws when they're there.
And he's running. I get it. But come on. He's still Daniel Jones on the road. And guess what? He's still Kirk Cousins.
By the way, And Dak won't run. Dak wants to hang in the pocket so he can throw an overthrow.
Did you see when he runs and his leg goes the wrong way?
I saw that.
We don't need that. No, Dak every once in a while will pull that zone read out.
Guys, don't worry about Dak. Dak is going to be just fine on Monday night.
Dak averages like 14 yards a game rushing.
Yeah. And Daniel Jones is the second leading quarterback rusher behind
Justin
Fields this year because Lamar Jackson's been hurt. So who do we like? I mean, are we consensus here? We like Ty. We all like the 49ers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, but closer than the
10?
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that could be a 7-point kind of game just because of the weather. It could be sloppy. Keep it a lower scoring ball game. And the line is 10.5 when they don't score a lot of points. That
could
be a factor.
We're liking the Chargers to win.
Ooh. Chargers or Jaguars?
Chargers.
Jags.
I like the Jags too. I don't trust Brandon Staley.
You two Jags. Okay.
1-5 against playoff teams, Chargers. I got to see it from Justin Herbert and from that coach of theirs. I'm going to go Doug Peterson riding the momentum. Bills, Dolphins, we're all going Bills, correct?
Extremely large, correct. Yes.
Extremely large.
Yes.
Vikings, Giants. Just picking a winner here. The line is 3, if it matters. I will take the Vikings. I think the good Vikings show up here.
I'm going to take the Vikings on a push, win by a field goal.
And here's the thing. Vikings are either going to win the game or they're going to get blown out. Because
yes.
In the last 6 weeks, they got blown
like
out.
That.
They got blown out by Dallas. They got blown out by Green Bay. They got blown. I mean, if they lose, they get beat bad. But I think if they're in it, they'll win it because Justin Jefferson is unguardable, and I don't think the Giants have enough weapons around Saquon Barkley to win that game in what's going to be a very loud Minnesota. And then Bengals-Ravens, we're all on Bengals?
Bengals easy.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the Giants too.
Okay, you're on with the Giants.
Yeah.
You're taking the Giants to win the game.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings to win that ballgame. Right. We'll make the official pick on the Cowboys, but I know you already have the Cowboys by 10.
Yes.
I'll give you my pick on Monday because it's a Monday night football showdown with Tom Brady.
I got my guy Ty. He's already starting to come my way on that early.
I think a lot of people picking the Cowboys. I also think a lot of sharp money in Vegas is saying, wait a second, I got Tom Brady at home in prime
time. I got the
time,
number and the numbers.
And I'm catching points. I'll take that.
Everything in my body and mind is telling me the Cowboys are going to lose. So maybe if I reverse jinx it.
Dude, they are not winning to that old man on Monday.
They already did once this year.
No, they're not losing to that dude. He's got his guys. They've been practicing. So what?
Hey, we'll be back. We will tee it up for Light the Tower. Also the rest of the day, the rest of a busy weekend here on the Horn. That's coming back here on the show.
B&E.
By the way, guys, why do I need you two when I've got Wags, the Adam Wagner, the Wags, and the Wagner Wire? Why can't I just go with what Wags is telling me?
You could.
Yes.
It's your call.
I could.
Craig Flowers has told us, like Adam Wagner did, he says that Jim Turner also a Marine.
Marine, yeah.
Marine in his time. That is correct. It's like the devil dog Wags that says he's still Daniel Jones. Yeah, players need never improve in their first 5 years. Look, I think Daniel Jones has gotten better.
There's no doubt. He is taking care of the ball.
Brian Daboll has done a nice job, but he's still Daniel Jones. You've seen him play against the Cowboys this year, some other teams. He's a good player. I don't know that he's a great player. And he's going to need to play great, I think, to beat Minnesota in Minnesota in that loud environment. When I think we know this for Kirk Cousins. He was happy to see the schedule come out and know it's not a primetime game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Kirk Cousins in primetime, not good. Kirk Cousins
and
at 3 in the afternoon.
And out of all those teams, he'd rather play this team, too, that you just got through beating.
And the key for me with the Vikings and Giants is the Vikings have to run the ball. I mean, the one thing, Mike Zimmer's gone, right, and Kevin O'Connell's the first-year head coach.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons they get blown out in these games is, you know, Mike Zimmer, he demanded they be tough and run the football, and they're hard-nosed. They're dynamic through their passing game. And Dalvin Cook will get off on some screen passes, but they got to make sure they're running the football, or else the Giants will make this a good ball game.
Yeah, their tight end's important, too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, think about that offense. I mean, it's Dalvin Cook, who's an elite-level running back. It's T.J. Hockenson, their tight end. It's Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. There shouldn't be games where they score three points. Packers beat them, and it was like 40 to whatever. I mean, it's just you've got to have a mindset that you're going to run the football. It's playoff time. And they have the ability to run the ball because of the players they have. I just think they have more overall weapons than the Giants, and they're at home. So it's a game they should win. But, you know, that's the playoffs. That's why we all tune in to see how these things play out over the next 2 days and into Monday night's game with the Dallas Cowboys, which I'm just happy to hear. I mean, the Cowboys are getting healthy. Leighton Vander Esch is back. Jonathan Hankins is back. Tyler Biadasz is healthy at center.
Yeah, this will be the no-excuse game, by the way. It won't be, the greatest quarterback in the world beat us. No, for the Cowboys, they have to win that. That's a must-win game.
Well, and Brady has said they're healthier than they've been all year going into this game, so that's good. They're feeling pretty healthy and ready to go. And the biggest issue for the Cowboys, which we'll talk about Monday, becomes that corner opposite Trayvon Diggs. You know, they brought in Xavier Rhodes. Speaking of Vikings, he's a former Viking. They're trying to find somebody that can play that outside spot. Tom Brady won't stop throwing it to the guy that's open, right? I mean, he'll throw it if – what was the Super Bowl?
Do you know how mad Jerry will be if they lose that game Monday?
Very mad.
Do you know how mad he will be on Tuesday getting on the air?
What was the Super Bowl game when Tom Brady threw it to James White like 13 times, right?
Against the Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean, the comeback.
I mean, don't think Tom Brady, if somebody's struggling with Godwin, he'll keep throwing it to him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I can't see that guy covering Chris Godwin. No.
He'll say, hey, Trayvon Diggs, I'm not messing with you. I'm going right over here because he's open all the dang time.
Jerry can tell you on Monday that Mike McCarthy is safe. I can tell you on Friday, that dude loses that game on Monday, he's not safe. Jerry will be fuming on Tuesday when he gets on the air. up in Dallas area. He will be pissed.
Well, this is an opportunity. As I've said, the Cowboys are the 5 seed. The Rams were the 5 seed a year ago.
I believe this is their opportunity.
Yeah, well, at least it's Dak's opportunity to go head-to-head with the GOAT and get a big playoff, a signature playoff win, because it would be that. Hasn't Brady won, like, an even year or odd year? He's won every Super Bowl? I don't know.
He's magic.
You know, we got all Monday to
talk
about that
game. Come on, Ty, we're not going to be scared.
Prove me wrong, Dak. That's all I got
to
say.
I'd love to see it. Well, if you're looking for the optimism on a Friday the 13th, good luck with the Mega Millions tonight, by the
way,
Buck.
Thank you. I got it. I got it in hand.
The optimism is, at this point last year, the Rams were the 5 seed. Their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, led the NFL in interceptions in the regular season, and they went on a roll that started on a Monday night road football game at Arizona, and they rode that all the way to the Super Bowl. That will be the Cowboys' opportunity.
I hit that Mega Millions. There's a good possibility Monday there will be somebody missing. I got a lot to do with that money. I got a lot to help out a lot of people.
If you win that Mega Millions, I will not see you on Monday.
You already know that?
I know that for good. I wouldn't want to see you. I just wanted to see if you'll drop a little bit in my little bank account.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Longhorn Hoops tomorrow night at 7. You know that. Thank you to Rodney Terry. Great conversation with the Texas basketball coach. That's on our podcast already at hornfm.com. Also, thank you to Bobby Burton and Ari Temkin. Thank you to Ty and you, Buck. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You guys, too. Be safe.
Hey, you know what's coming next. They're going to light the tower. Then it's Chad and Zay through the midday. Harge and Rod get you home. On Ball, Don't Lie. Have yourself a heck of a Friday. Have yourself a heck of a MLK weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning, 6 a.m.